In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was made flesh and became the Word alive. Today, His words are being shared by the radio ministry of Clinton and Sarah Utterbach, sponsored by the Redeeming Love Christian Center of Nanuet, New York. Join Clinton and Sarah Utterbach now on Listen to Jesus.
Listen to Jesus. Say what Jesus said. Keep looking at Jesus. And do what Jesus did, and it will turn your life around. And you will turn this world around.
Hello out there. I'm Clinton Utterbach.
I'm Sarah Utterbach.
We're going to be continuing the message this week on expected conduct in God's house from the pastoral series of messages. But before we do this, honey, why don't you pray?
Gracious Father, we thank you so much for being who you are and loving us so much. We thank you for your faithfulness, your goodness, your kindness. We thank you that you are just being God on our behalf, and we're grateful for that. We thank you for Jesus' obedience and the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us into all truth. And today, as we gather once again around your word, we're asking you to continually surround our leadership with men and women who will counsel with them according to your word, prepare their hearts to receive truth, and then seal that truth in their hearts so that they will make godly decisions that will affect your people in a positive way. And when all is said and done, we'll be careful to give you the praise, glory, and honor for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know, honey, sometimes we say when we're talking about God's house, we think of the various buildings in which churches are housed. But the truth of the matter is the body of Christ is God's house. And when we talk about conduct in God's house, we're talking about conduct in the church of God or the body of Christ. And that is a universal thing that the Apostle Paul addressed in the pastoral epistles. And it behooves all of us who are really interested in what God is looking for in his house to listen to these tapes, not just listen to these tapes, but to search these scriptures.
I think that I probably will start off, and I'm not quite certain where we left off last week, but I want to back up to the 11th verse.
Yeah, we finished with the 10th last week.
Okay. The 10th verse had read, "And let these also first be proved, and then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless." And it's very interesting that it says, let them first be proved, because when we started this church, when we selected persons that we believed would be deacons, we did not ordain them as deacons. We nominated them as deacons in training. And we observed them, but we had been observing them even before we asked them to be deacons in training. But when they officially became deacons in training, we observed what they did. We didn't, you know, sneak around corners and peep at them every minute, but we observed their general conduct in and among the congregation. And after 1 year was completed, we had an official ordination service to ordain them as deacons. And so that's in line with verse 10,
and part
which
of
says
that has
be
to do,
proved.
Honey, with, part of that has to do because we know of situations where people can be fine. You can observe them for years, and it's sort of like a couple living together, and then suddenly after 15 years of living together, they get married and they want a divorce in 2 years. The same thing happens often when people get titles. Are you listening to me? You can observe a person with no title or people with no titles, and they can be one way. And it's something about a title that has an effect on people. So that's why we observe them after they are selected as deacons, and we, you know, chair with them. So if the title doesn't go to their head, if they got to always be walking around talking about their title and mistreating people and, you know, suddenly throwing their weight around, they're going to have some difficulty trying to make it. If we have ordained you or we've selected you in whatever position, whether it's appraiser or bookstore or whatever, if you've been selected for the position, you don't have to announce it to anybody. I said, you don't have to announce it to anybody. We've announced it to them. And all you need to do is walk in it. But if you always got to go around telling somebody, I'm a praiser, or I'm in charge of the bookstore, or I'm a volunteer, whatever, there's some question about whether or not you're ready.
But the 11th verse says, even so. Now notice that phrase, even so. What does that mean to you? That means in the same manner, in like manner, doesn't it? It says, even so must their wives, whose wives? The wives of the deacons, be grave, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things, or in short, have the same qualifications as their husbands.
That's right.
So I was looking at a couple of other translations of the Bible. One says, women in like manner, or in like qualifications as previously defined. And it says that could easily apply to the office of deaconess. Mm-hmm. In other words, when it uses the word wives there, it's really talking about women, all right? In other words, women have the same responsibility if called on to be a deacon as do men. And it gives an example of Romans, the 16th chapter, in the first verse, where it names the woman Phoebe, who it says was a deaconess at the church in Cenchrea.
Who may not have had a husband.
Who may not have had a husband, didn't specify. But she was a servant or a deaconess at the church in Cenchrea. And because, I don't know why people seem to just ignore this scripture that says, in Christ there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female, and it's talking about in Christ. In Christ. We know there's a difference between male and female, but in Christ there's none. And the reason why that is because the role of recreators, I guess that's the best way to put it, the role of recreation was given to husband and wife together. Isn't that true? God made them with the appropriate parts to come together and sire the race of and birth the race of man. However, in the spirit, when we get to heaven, there will be no gender. You understand me? There will be no gender for the simple reason is that you can't be born into heaven. You have to be reborn to get there. Do you follow me? So there'll be no husbands and wives? I think we're going to remember each other from this life, but I think we're going to remember each other as brother and sister and not husband and wife. Because can you imagine us remembering folks as husband and wives in heaven? I can make one truthful statement to you. It wouldn't be heaven. Because some people have been married to two or three people. I mean, and more than that. And they may all get there. Bible doesn't tell you you're going to be lost because you got two or three. You know, they could have died. Or even if they didn't die. But since there is no gender in the spirit, no male or female, you won't know each other in that way. And since the spirit is eternal, not only goes forward into eternity, but the spirit of God goes backwards into eternity, which means eternity has already begun. Once we got into Christ, we were in eternity. Remember Jesus, what was that Jesus said to the Pharisees? Before Abraham was, I am. That's a present tense word, isn't it? I am. In other words, I always am. Not I always was, or I always will be, but I always
am.
And so because the Spirit is eternal, when you get saved, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, and old things have passed away. And all things have become new, and it says all things are of God. And so we have to adjust our thinking in terms of the marriage union. The husband has been given the title of head of the home. The wife has been given the title of helpmeet. And they're to rear the children, and they both have their roles to play, and sometimes the roles are interchangeable. But in the spirit, we are one. And everybody needs to remember that, so we don't need to quibble over things. When we come into the church of God and the Holy Ghost starts making decisions about people, it is not respecter of gender. You need to understand that.
I sure am glad this thing is going to be settled here in the earth, because imagine you finally get to heaven and you think, oh, all the grief and aggravation and everything is behind me. And suddenly four or five husbands or wives show up and say, you still mine. What do you do then? So that's why we got to settle this thing and end it here in the earth, because heaven won't be worth going to if we got to contend with the same stuff that we dealt with here in the earth.
I don't remember the occasion, but somebody brought that up about a man that had seven wives and wanted to know in the resurrection whose wife is she going to be. And he said, you do err. Yes. They will be as the angels who neither marry nor are given in marriage. Remember that scripture? You had some comments on women, so I don't want to move.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, first of all, I'm going to look at it in the New International Translation. When it says there, in the same way their wives are to be women worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything, that meant that everything else, they just like the deacons had to be worthy of respect, they had to be sincere, not indulging in much wine, not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then if there's nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In all of those things, the wives also must be worthy of respect.
We feel honored that God has granted us the privilege of bringing you today's message. Our commitment to share the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ deepens daily.
Listen to Jesus is heard on five of the earth's seven continents, but there is still more land to be possessed for the kingdom of God. In Matthew 28:19, Jesus gave the directive to go into all the world and make disciples of men. We were motivated to do just that through the Listen to Jesus broadcasts.
If you're interested in a cassette copy of this week's broadcast, send in $6, making your checks and money orders payable to Redeeming Love Christian Center.
If you live in the United States, you may also use your Visa or MasterCard by calling our toll-free number at 888-490-RLCC. That's 888-490-RLCC. If you have access to the internet, you may listen to the broadcast at any time on www.redeeminglovecc.org. That's www.redeeminglovecc.org.
And if the teaching you hear on this program is having a positive effect on your life, you have an opportunity and a spiritual responsibility to join us as co-laborers by becoming a regular contributor.
When you give, God blesses you with a financial return according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
Mail all of your correspondence and make your financial contributions payable to Redeeming Love Christian Center, Post Office Box 577, Nanuet, N-A-N-U-E-T, New York, 10954. Once again, that's Redeeming Love Christian Center, Post Office Box 577, Nanuet, N-A-N-U-E-T, New York, 10954. And remember to include the call letters of this station when you write. Until next time, this is Clinton Utterbach.
I'm Sarah Utterbach.
And we're reminding you, God is alive and well,
and His word will work for you.